Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
One more. Former President Trump has made some pretty wild posts recently on social media. One of them was that the cocaine found in the White House had belonged to either the president or his son. Are you willing to say that that's not the case, that they don't belong to them?
I don't have a response to that because we have to be careful about the Hatch Act. What I will say is that I have noticed there does seem to be some increasing frustration coming from that corner in general. And I think it is probably rooted in the contrast between their substantive policy records.
What does the Hatch Act have to do with whose coke is it? Whose coke is it?
Well, we can't tell you that because the Hatch Act.
Man, it's going to take some real big godly hands today to keep my mouth.
It's the most transparent administration in history.
I'm telling you, it's because the Hatch Act. Are they just counting on you to not know what that is? You can't trot that out anytime you don't want to answer a question. Well, it's, you know, just the Hatch Act. What? Yeah, the Hatch Act. Mm-hmm. But what does that have, the Hatch Act? How does discussing whose cocaine it is in any way, what does it have to do with the political activity of federal employees? I mean, when did this audio come out, Kane? Like 20 minutes ago?
30 minutes ago, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So welcome to the Thursday edition of WTF America. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. It's a day that ends in Y, really, for as ridiculous as... I'm just trying to wrap my head around this, too. I mean, this was the... Do you know the long title of the Hatch Act is the... It sounds like it's a made-up name. It's like the Act to Prohibit prohibit Pernicious Political Activities or Prevent Pernicious Political Activities, something like that. That's the long name of it. It sounds like a Harry Potter thing. But it has to do with federal employees engaging in partisan political activity. So then that just him, and that's what the deputy press person, that's the guy that works under KJP. And so him saying that they can't talk about it because it would somehow violate the Hatch Act, was it a campaign event with cocaine? It's the only way that makes sense, right? I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. That is the only way that it makes sense. Was it a campaign activity involving cocaine? Maybe it was, I don't know, you know how they do like all these group building exercises all the time, you know, that different work, well, roll with me here, at different workplaces and stuff like that. You know, maybe they do it also with, you know, political teams, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they had like some sort of political campaign team building activity in which they all snorted Hunter's cocaine. See, if I was a reporter in the White House, I would go, can you confirm that Hunter's cocaine is this cocaine? That's the question that I would be asking. So when you found Hunter's cocaine, now Dana, that's not Hunter's cocaine, but it's Hunter's cocaine. So when you found Hunt's cocaine, now did you hear that? So the Secret Service, they finally, of course, they had confirmed it. Now they're doing, they're finally now caring to pull the story up there. They've ordered a DNA and fingerprint analysis, guys. They've ordered it.
Really?
And they now they're trying to say it was in a cubby hole. Stop it. Stop. Okay, the last time grown-ass adults had cubby holes was never. The last time I had a cubby hole was when I was in kindergarten. My kindergarten teacher, her name was Mrs. Mace. She had the long bob or the lob, red-haired, like totally traditional kindergarten teacher from the 80s. And every one of us had a little cubby, right? And so that's the only time I ever had a cubby. Grown people don't have cubbies. How do you have a cubby? It's in a cubby in the White House. It's where visitors leave their cell phones and other items. But also, there were reports that Hunter Biden was seen in the library. Sounds like a game of Clue. Hunter Biden in the library with a dime bag. I mean, that's... Oh, golly. This is embarrassing for our nation. This is what happens when you get this crack addict Nepo baby in the White House. So they said that they're conducting fingerprint analysis on Hunter's dime bag to figure out whose it was. Hunter's dime bag. So that's the latest. And that was, I mean, he was spotted with his laptop, Jiminy Christmas, another one, with his laptop in the White House library. So I'm just going to call it now. Y'all know that we are going to in, you know, I don't know, maybe 12 months time, maybe if it's that long, he's going to leave his laptop somewhere. He'll probably leave it somewhere. And then we're going to get all of these really grody photos from it. And it's all going to have happened in the White House. Ooh, on the furniture in the White House. Seriously, wipe down all surfaces. Any and all surfaces. So they've really been pushing this whole, oh, well, it could have really been, you know, just like a visitor there. It could have, you know, they could. You can't bring a dime bag of cocaine into the White House, you freaks. This is not how any of this works. Oh, my gosh. This is so stupid. Little baby Hunter, little Hunter Biden baby. I don't think they're ever going to divulge it. But that is the latest, though, just because I know that you were very curious about. I've never seen a guy who gets such, like, there's no accountability for this guy. No accountability. In fact, there's a new poll out. Most Americans believe, you know, the Hunter Biden plea deal where he gets to illegally buy a gun while he's, you know, off his man teats on crack. So there's a survey out. It's a Rasmussen survey. It says 55% of likely U.S. voters disapproved of his plea deal involving taxes and gun crimes, including 41% who strongly disapprove. And it's actually not, it's only like a +2 R, by the way, when I was looking at this. So it's, now this is why you saw the piece from Politico run today that says Politico is now encouraging Joe Biden to be primaried. Because now you even have Democrats going, wait a minute, the hell, what does this guy, what, how does this guy get to walk with all of this stuff? Can you imagine? So this poll that says there's a mounting pressure on this federal judge to reject the Hunter Biden plea deal because there's a lot of serious issues in the investigation, which is true. In fact, they said barely 37% of voters actually approved of the plea deal. I mean, it is just stunning. It really is. The amount that this guy gets away with. We don't get away with this stuff. How many of y'all got to deal with bureaucratic agencies? Everybody's going to be getting a call from the IRS if you haven't already. You know it's going to happen. You're going to sell a lawnmower on Etsy or something like that. Or you're going to sell some on Etsy and the IRS is going to come knocking on your door. Where's our share? Asked the vultures. Where's our share? Oh. So I'm not in a good mood. Thank you for asking because this is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. Can we just pause for a minute? What is the pointless exercise in circling the wagons for this 50-something-year-old dude? What is the purpose? Like, you're really willing to compromise national security because of this dude? This grifting family, this white trash family? That's what they are. I mean, these people would look down their noses probably at most of my family. But yet, I don't got people in my family for all our problems that do this kind of stuff. Just got to say, in fact, I don't know most families that all of these self-appointed elitists on the East Coast look down their nose at or talk disparagingly whenever they refer to flyover country. I don't know a single one of the of those people that have that check all these boxes that Hunter Biden does. Golly. I mean, it's at some point, what is the point of all of this? It's a pointless exercise. Like the continual denial, which we'll talk about here coming up, of his youngest daughter. That was something KJP actually had to field yesterday. Now, meanwhile, in the media, get this. I saw this piece. I didn't know who this dude was, and I thought it was a parody account, but apparently it's not. It's just some stupid old millennial who, I don't know, did some stuff with the Democrat Party. I can't stand these people half the time. Someone's like, did you see what this influencer said? No, I don't care. I don't care because this person, I've seen skin tags with more influence than these people. Shush up. So this one dude, I'm not, his name is not even important. It's a picture of Joe Biden sitting on the steps of the White House. And I guess this was during the Independence Day stuff. And this guy, and I had retweeted it, so it's not hard to find it. But this guy tweeted, and he's this political operative. Wow, this photo of President Biden sitting on the White House steps is so breathtaking. And I'm just going to vomit. And captures the moment so well. He's doing so much, blah, blah, blah. And I just remarked, wipe the drool off your mouth. Oh, my gosh, have some dignity. For real. We're going with drool. Did he fall? I don't know. Maybe he did. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Now, you also have, as it relates to the Biden story, he's being encouraged to sue the internet, essentially. He really is. In fact, you have the Tennessee election commissioner says, I hope Hunter sues the hell out of everyone suggesting that it's, you know, his cocaine. Oh, you're going to sue the internet, Mr. Jackson? Really? You know, the only other guy who said that he was going to do that was this old, he's a sentient sunspot, and he's from St. Louis. You know, what's his name? Jayco, that guy who like faked a CNN report, and he threatened to sue the entire internet 10 years ago. And I and other people made so much fun of him. I'm pretty sure that he had to get therapy afterwards, which he probably needed in the first place. But he's a really disgruntled individual. Anyway, that's the only other time I've ever heard of anyone actually encouraging or talking about suing the internet. So this Tennessee election commissioner, he's like, oh, Hunter's been at Camp David since Friday. And this was found Sunday evening. Yeah, because it couldn't have been in the quote unquote cubby since Thursday. Genius. Couldn't have been then. And he adds, the White House library is included in the White House tour. But it's not, though, because, you know, that's what cocaine addicts do, right? Cocaine addicts, what they do is they take their dime bags into the White House and just randomly leave it on things like, I don't, how would you even get access to the cubby? That's not even something you would have access to. Secret Service has to put that in there. Yeah, that's something that Secret Service takes your stuff and they would have to put it in the area where they keep the cell phones. You dummies. That's not how any of this goes. Oh my gosh. I mean, I know that it's like so totally offensive to think that a guy who would film himself driving down a Las Vegas highway while he's also smoking crack, going 172 miles per hour, a guy who also filmed himself waving a gun around that he illegally disposed of in a trash can across the street from an elementary school while he's also still smoking crack with his finger on the trigger. I know it's totally shocking to think that just maybe, and you know, this universe, he might also smoke crack at the White House. Totally shocking. I know. We're all shocked. What a leap. Such a leap in logic. So they're going to carry out this fingerprint analysis. And in the meantime, Democrats are fighting to censor people on the internet if they dislike their politics. So that's the latest fight. We're going to dive into this here because this has to do with the Missouri v. Biden censorship case. This was after yesterday came out that, well, it technically was in the fourth, a federal judge issued this prelim injunction that bars government officials from talking with and contacting social media companies to suppress speech. And we're going to talk about what that means and how the press is representing it. Because if you thought that they were going to do it in a fair way, well, you're not a very lucky person, are you? When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code DANA. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Is Biden's economic plan truly working? Wages are going backwards as new regulations are costing $10,000 per American. With inflation at a higher rate, your spending power goes down. Make sure you know what numbers to pay attention to. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, one of Trump's aides pleads not guilty in the classified documents probe. I don't even care about this story. Do you know why I haven't talked about it? Because I think it's a Victorian freak show. I mean, you're doing this, but hi, cocaine in the White House. Just saying. So I don't care. So don't think I'm not talking about it because I don't care for one reason or another. The reason that I don't care for it is because of the unequal attention to detail. That's why. Also, UFOs. Woo! UFO hunters say that spacecraft debris appears to be artificial in origin. I don't want to have an appears to be. I don't want, show me them aliens. Or shut up. I don't care about your speculation. Show me like a dead severed alien arm, a dead severed alien head, something. Give me something. It's what I'm asking for. We all are. Let's see. This is a crazy story. A transgender pedophile, a 66-year-old dude, is spared jail after the case was delayed over discussions as to whether or not this pervert should go to a women's or a men's prison. This is a totally true story. Unbelievable. It happened in UK. And this former prison worker was caught in possession of child pornography. And so they couldn't figure out if he should go to the men's prison or the women's prison. I hate to say to send him to the most violent, brutal prison. Turn off all the cameras and the lights. That's what you should do. Let's see. The U.S. Navy intervened to stop Iran from seizing two tankers in the Gulf of Oman, according to U.S. defense officials. This is like the third or fourth time this has happened, like in the past 2 months. They are always pretty squirrely, but I think even more so. Millennials are apparently the biggest liars of the generation, according to a new survey from the New York Post. If you've ever seen any influencer on TikTok, you totally understand. We omit Steve from this. Steve is not included. DJ Fun Uncle, he's excluded from this. Stick with us. What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. And remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward, visit angel.com/freedom. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
I want to discuss very briefly, because there is a nasty, violent, in terms of verbal and written words, spewed by the conservative press regarding the shooter. There are certain pictures that are circulating. Some of you may be aware of those pictures. Have the shooter in one pitcher as male and other pitchers dressed in female attire, female outfits.
Oh, for the love. So welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. This was a video from Julio Rosas, who was at the press conference about the recent mass casualty incident that was in Philly. And it was a BLM trans activist that did it. And so there was this presser and this other BLM activist, bright pink polo, said that conservative media is committing what he calls verbal violence because they're sharing. Okay, this makes as much sense as a football bat. Because they're sharing photos of the killer wearing women's clothing. But they were like, oh, he's not really trans. So he was a BLM activist. Crossdresser? Like what? And how is that verbal violence? Because you're sharing photos that someone else publicly posted. And he said, quote, the language spewed out by the conservative press is violent and it's dangerous and it's targeting trans women of color. It's rallying the community to be violent. No, the person who is rallied to be violent is the person who shot up people in Philly. This is not difficult here, champ. How are you going to sit here and say that the guy who shot up people in Philadelphia isn't the one being violent, but talking about how he was a freak apparently is, oh, that's rallying people to be violent. As violent as the guy who shot up a bunch of people, as violent as the chick who targeted a Christian school because they were Christians and shot a bunch of Christian kids. That kind of violence, is that what you're talking about there, Slim? Good grief. It's violence to repost things that people publicly post themselves. But it's not violence when they post it originally. It's only violence when you repost it.
If it's not violence, if they shoot them?
Yeah, apparently shooting people isn't violence. Talking about how they were a leftist activist that shot up people is violence, though. Do you know why it's violence? Because it's inconvenient. That's why. Anything that is inconvenient is violence. That's not going to work. It is not going to work. The violence, it's you're committing verbal violence by sharing photos that they publicly posted. No, no. The dude who shot people up is the person who literally, not figuratively, literally committed violence. Do you not know what violence is? I'm thinking these people don't. This is why I can't even trust these people when it comes to firearms. Hell, they don't even know what violence is. You shoot up a neighborhood? Oh, it's not violence because he was a BLM activist and trans. Or maybe not trans. Now, oh no, don't say he's trans now. The trans community doesn't want it. If you commit violence on their behalf, then they don't. Well, at least, you know, it's a pretty violent activist group. So this doesn't, I mean, this is kind of like what we were seeing from the way that the press has handled this story. For a little bit now, since it first happened. I mean, it's sad. It's like in CNN, let me pull this up. CNN had this headline. Jeez. They ran with us, what was this, yesterday that they ran? Yeah, yesterday evening. Quote, Philadelphia mass shooting suspect told police he did it to clean up the neighborhood. What? So the man who was accused of killing five people in Philly on Monday night told police that he carried out his attack to clean up the neighborhood. That's what he apparently, he had stuff on social media. He he posted a bunch of stuff on social media. Oh, and we're also supposed to believe that he's mega MAGA or something. Is that the thing we're supposed to believe?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. So that doesn't sound correct. Do you believe that? I don't believe it. Do you believe that from the same entity that told you natural immunity doesn't exist anymore? Because I don't believe it. I don't believe any of this anymore. None of it. Now, this, I mean, it's an unfortunate, it's a sad story. It's sad, but this is the, I'm not going to say his name, but Juan asked if, because you know, we have the simulcast of the radio program to show his photo, but I'm not going to say his name. This dude is not a conservative. He is not a conservative. I mean, how are you a BLM activist? And these are like completely antithetical things. But this is the second case of someone that has this shared ideology and shared behaviors that goes on a rampage. Just saying. Now we're told, no, you can't make these connections. But anytime a mass casualty, anything horrific that when it happens, if it happens, and they're rare, but when something happens, oh, it's all law-abiding gun owners. You all bear the blame for all of it. That's not working anymore. Now, a few other things that I want to make sure that we are touching on as well. Some 2024 stuff. So there's some bad numbers for Joe. Not only does he have bad numbers, but he also has this huge liability called Hunter. And Hunter is constantly keeping him in the press. So if you haven't seen, Biden's out there trying to sell his Biden economy. Have you seen this? But nobody's talking about it because cocaine in the White House. Nobody's talking about it because Hunter's there at the White House. Hunter, more video comes out, him speeding down the highway, 172 miles per hour, smoking crack, taking video of himself doing all of this stuff in Vegas. He is this liability to Biden in the campaign. Biden won't jettison him, keeps him at the White House. If he's that worried about Hunter Biden relapsing that he wants to keep him at the White House, that signals to me that maybe he should be in an institution and trying to get over his lifelong drug habit instead of like they're endangering national security or going on overseas trips where you're meeting world leaders and you're exposing, you know, the administration to potential compromise. Although, you know, I mean, I think at this point, it's safe to say it begs the question that it's compromised. Now, the latest 538 is in polling. I mean, RCP's polling has been pretty consistent in that Biden's not doing well, but Biden's doing very, very poorly, especially with his own voters. So this is one of the reasons why Politico now is floating this piece where they're saying that maybe Biden needs a heavyweight primary challenger. This is why Gavin Newsom is still there, like running around Biden's ankles. And Politico uses the creepiest picture absolutely possible for Joe Biden. He looks like one of the Titans from Attack on Titan. And the headline is why Democrats should primary Biden. It would be good for the party and the president. Oh, I think it would be horrific for the president. He couldn't do it. I mean, they say that he needs a tune-up. He's stiff when he speaks, that he can be adult, that he said that Vladimir Putin, this was just last week when he said he's losing the war in Iraq, or when he says God save the queen at a gun control rally. I mean, goofy stuff that he does. And everyone who's ever, I mean, Biden's is, he's, I mean, I think he's mentally compromised. And I'm not trying to be mean. If you've ever seen, Biden used to be a really mean wannabe LBJ type from the 70s and 80s. And if you compare how he is now to how he is then, I mean, it's entirely night and day. I mean, he looks completely incompetent and not up to the task mentally or physically. And so they're talking about, and they're floating, oh, you know, Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's the first one that they say. And they said, they noted that he's already acting like a president in exile, which is true. He's just there in the wings. He's already signaled that he'll be a team player. He's not going to give any problems to the party. He'll be a team player, but he's there if you need him. And he's still doing things that a candidate for president would do. Someone running for the office of the president would do. He's not just acting as a governor. He's acting, Newsom, he's acting like he's still running for the party's nomination, because there, that to me signals, until he stops that, there's a really serious effort between these two factions to get Biden out of there. And it's not because people think Biden's doing a good job or they want him to stay in the White House. It's because they love the adjacency to power. They love being that close to power. They love it. That is what this is about. This is about preserving themselves. That's what it's all about. That's why it's unfortunate. There are too many people like that in politics, and that those are the people keeping Biden alive. And so he's got really horrifically bad numbers. Now, in the meantime, I saw this story. This was from The Hill. So it says the team behind Peaky Blinders. Have you seen that show, Peaky Blinders? There's Helen McCrory was in it. I love her. She's since passed, but Cillian Murphy stars in it. Peaky Blinders is a good show. But the team behind it says that the DeSantis campaign, there was a video that was published. And it was like a viral video. It was kind of like a meme. And The Hill presents it as it was an ad, but it wasn't an ad. No one, they didn't do it as an ad. It was just a viral video that they retweeted. And so you have the press that then runs to the Peaky Blinders people And they're like, can you believe that they use their your stuff? But it wasn't their. I saw it retweeted. It wasn't anything that they did. They literally reposted a video from somebody else. It was, you know how this thing called the internet, people can actually make videos that they want to make using video clips from other videos. And then they can post it on the internet and other people, this is shocking, can repost it. Crazy. I know. So they were apparently upset. The Peaky Blinders people were upset over that. The last time I cared about someone British being upset was never, because 1776. So moving on. And that includes wannabe operatives here in the United States who can't even vote here. Moving on. So Hillary Clinton is heading to the NAACP conference in Boston. Do you think she's going to be taking her hot sauce? Remember how she used to always talk about that? You know she doesn't. You know she doesn't do that. So she's, I don't know, she's speaking there later this month for some reason. Is she going to be able to stand up on stage and not lose a shoe? I'm curious. Did they ever recover that Tory Burch flat? She dropped in the street. She was drugged into a windowless van.
Could have fallen down into the sewer.
It was just like there with the debris and leaves in the gutter. It's a sight you can never get over. It's just kind of funny. Now, this, we're going to talk about this here coming up as well. Universities across America are apparently installing morning after pill vending machines. Why? 39 universities in 17 states, they've installed morning after. Why not like prophylactic or preventative things? Or maybe just don't hoe it up. Oh, get mad, media. Get mad. It's true, though. For real. Like, you have so little self-restraint. So little self-restraint. Come on, people. Good heavens. This kind of coincides with a story that I saw, which we're also going to discuss coming up. Could we win another revolution? Especially with our current generations. Think about all of that. I'm just going to put that on the table for you as a little snack. Think about all of that. You know, get you some hot coffee, like refill your soda, you know, whatever it is.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I have to say, I did not go out on July 4th and would not. The idea of going to a mass gathering, a parade or a big fireworks thing outside seems insane to me, to be blunt, in America, because America is awash with guns. And now people don't just have them. They seem to want to shoot people with them and use them for whatever, you know. What do you think has changed in this country, which has always had a lot of guns in the recent years, to make it?
This is commentary? That's commentary? Like, someone paid for her to say this stuff.
Use my gun for
like,
whatever.
I mean, it's a wash in guns, and people don't just, like, have them. They, like, use them and shit them.
For whatever.
Use them, like, however.
Journalism, everybody.
It's our show. Story. Welcome to my show. Oh, my gosh. Countries of washing guns. People don't only just have them, Kane. They like shoot them. You know, because you can shoot them without, you know, having them, apparently. Just like if you go like this real hard, listen, I'm going to think real hard. You can shoot one like that. It's crazy. It's mind operated. That's a show. I mean, when we are that dumb, we're making fun of somebody. That's just her naturally. Whew. The other guy, I loved the expression of the dude that she was just talking. She just had this guy on to talk to him. Did he ever answer anything? She's just like, bah, that, that, I think that, that. And he sits there. Hur. Did he ever speak?
I don't think so. I think she monologued through the whole thing.
This is an SNL skit. She brings people on. So washing guns. I didn't feel safe going outside. And he just blinks at her and stares. And then, thanks for coming on. And he just is there in the box just to be there.
Like a hostage victim.
Yeah, he is all of us having to watch that. So she's so scared she didn't even want to go outside. His face is all of us. It's like, I can't believe. Are you asking me a question? Like, what are you doing? I'm doing my show. But she's afraid to go outside at all. Imagine living your life so afraid of your own farts that you just, and that's what I call their commentary, by the way, all of the MSNBC CNN commentary. That, I mean, does she live in Chicago? Philly? You know, where you got Democrats running everything? East St. Louis? I mean, I'm wondering, is that where she, because it's not like that. She just buys into the fear that she helps propagate. It's so goofy. I still live, how sad. I still leave my house. I don't want to go outside and celebrate. Because people not only, I can't make fun of this enough, people not only can have guns, they like use them. Like, whatever. Like, what all do you use guns for? If you put a bunch of them in a vest, you can make a really nice table arrangement.
I shoot enough bullets by a piece of bread, I could toast it.
Yeah.
Toast my bread.
You know, true. Like, or donuts. Like, what if you made a pastry concoction and you're like, damn it, I forgot to make the hole for the donut. And you can just, yeah, pow, do it just like that. Maybe that's, I don't know, it's just a thought. Stay with us. We got a whole, we have two whole other hours coming. Don't go anywhere. We'll know.
Because periods make human life possible.
Yes.
It's potentially one of the most natural biological processes of life. And yet history and society has built up the stigma that makes menstruators feel so ashamed.
Yes.
It makes us feel like there's something wrong with our bodies. We're taught that period blood is this contaminable, like disgusting
dirty, nasty. Yes.
And I think that it always breaks my heart to hear so many stories every day of young menstruators who get their period and have never heard about it.
Yeah,
right?
The irony of sitting here talking about, oh, we don't want to shame women for having their periods, and then also shaming them by calling them menstruators. This chick is so unaware. It's a year of like realizing stuff. Me and my friends are just like realizing things. Kane's got to go die for it. In the meantime, welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Your lovable curmudgeon. Pretty rowdy today. No, I got these vibes. Do you got it? I have those vibes. This vibe right here.
And I feel like this year is really about like the year of just realizing stuff, and everyone around me, we're all just like realizing things.
Like, whoa. I got the same vibe from that. So if you're listening to the radio program, which you can listen coast to coast, you can stream it or you can watch the simulcast on YouTube, always discussion there, Facebook, Channel 347, Direct TV. This is a women's health CEO, and her company has their own pads for periods. Sorry, guys. I have to live through this, so you got to go with it with me. And they wanted a period-positive, gender-inclusive brand. I'm going to say this one more time. Y'all dudes, if you are bleeding down there, please see a doctor. Don't buy a pad, okay? It doesn't mean you suddenly have, you know, da-da-da-da, vagina. That's not what's going down, okay? That means you are injured, my friend. You are injured. So she keeps calling them menstruators. While she's simultaneously saying that we shouldn't look at it as like a bad thing. You know what? Just because there's the thing about having dignity, right? Can we stop pretending that having dignity is a negative? There are a lot of things that are completely biological, natural acts, but that doesn't mean you do it all out at the dinner table. You know what I'm saying? Like, what in the world? We have too much damn free time. For people to be so obsessed, let me find my next cause, my next pet cause. Good heavens. Stop it. So we played audio sound bite 11. What is this? 10? So this is her company. And she keeps, oh my gosh. So this is an actual thing. Yeah, she continues.
August, to me, is the result of spending years in the space identifying pain points, whether they be around sustainability, like I grew up hating pads. Most pads have enough plastic for like 3 to 5 plastic bags, right?
Yeah.
So very scratchy, very uncomfortable, but also
who
wanting a period positive, gender inclusive brand. So
okay,
we are August, wanting a gender inclusive name. On the back, it says we're here for everyone who menstruates.
Uh-huh.
And I think especially in this age of transphobia, it really means a lot to us to be proudly a gender inclusive brand. But everything
we
about the
like
product we try to be super thoughtful about, from how we design it to be as comfortable, as absorbent as possible, but also as sustainable as possible. So,
yeah, so with the water, I'm not sure what's happening here.
I get to do a fun little.
This was content on the news.
Somebody actually had this idea. Is that, well, what makes your pad brand different? That's her only thing. We're for everybody. Well, couldn't anybody use pads and make them for everybody if you wanted to play pretend? Here, just roll with me for a second. Yeah, but we put it on the box. That's your big thing? Uh-huh. So you're not like any different. You're not any better. You're just pretending that you are. Like you're pretending that your product can actually be used by men and women. Because again, dudes, if you're bleeding there, seek help. See a doctor. Stop it. Oh man. Chicks like this don't help. You know what I mean? They don't help. Like as women, we are fighting this battle against being erased by progressives who want to patriarchally, which I'm making up, they want to, in a patriarchal manner, appropriate the female sex, and all these third waivers like this broad are helping them. It's a pad. It's for everybody. I mean, this is just, can you imagine being on Shark Tank? So here's what makes our product different. So wait, you're a pad. Uh-huh. So you're like the Always or the Tampax pads. The Always pet. You're like those, like the things with the wings and the stickies and all that. You're like that. Yeah, but we're different. How are you different? Are you made the same way? Uh-huh. But how are you different? Well, we're for everybody. What do you mean everybody? We're inclusive. Well, couldn't everybody use the product that the products that exist already? Yeah, but we put it on the box. Because you think people are so damn stupid that you're going to have a man pretending that he's bleeding from his nether regions in the aisle at the supermarket looking at all the products going, well, this one says it's for all. Maybe it's penis shaped. I don't know. You know why the aliens haven't revealed themselves to us? Because this stuff, would you? Imagine you were an alien on a planet and they all go bananas. Okay? And you got the lady aliens that are pretending they are the dude aliens, and the dude aliens pretending that they are the lady aliens, and the dude aliens that want to alien feed the baby. I mean, oh my gosh. Would you really, at that moment, go, this seems like the best, they seem stable. This is the time I'm going to reveal my existence. Would you choose that point in time? I wouldn't. Which brings us an amazing segue to this video. So, I know you've seen this video. We've watched this video. I am still shocked at how high this chick's voice is. Juan thinks she sounds like Miss Piggy. She does. So let me break it down. So there's this video where this chick, she's on the plane, and she is sitting next to some dude who is in a green hoodie. And there's another video that comes out later, and you can see this guy in a green hoodie. And she freaks out on the plane. Freaks out. She says that he's not human. And apparently, one of the dudes that was sitting three, this is the story, this is the internet story, a guy who was sitting three rows behind says that the guy in the green hoodie winked, but vertically. Like sliding doors as opposed to a window. So now let's play this video because it's crazy. This is nuts.
What? I'm telling you, I'm getting the f*** off, and there's a reason why I'm getting the f*** off, and
she's
everyone
very upset.
Can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two f***, but I am telling you right now, that mother back there is not real.
He's not real.
And you can sit on this plane, and you can f*** die with them or not.
Oh my god.
I'm not going to.
She's like really, now... Juan says that those gummies were hard. Do you actually freak out? Can you freak out on gummies?
I guess if she's doing it.
I don't know. She really believes what she's saying. Now, I have a theory. So there's several different ways to look at this, okay? The first way, let's just look at it the first way. We could say, and it's like an Occam's razor. Maybe she's high as a kite. Who knows? Maybe, as Juan said, she had some hard gummies, you know, and she had way too many. And she could just be freaking out. Maybe she took them because she gets anxiety when she flies. Who knows? There's some people like that. I have friends who freak out when they fly. And she just, you know, was helping herself. It didn't look like anybody was getting off the plane with her. also. It just looked like it was herself. So I don't know. Maybe just, you know, maybe she ate that and then maybe she had a drink or something with it. Who knows? And she's just cray. Like so crazy. You don't even want to add the Z in there for fear it might draw her attention. So you just say cray. It could be that. And this poor dude who is pictured in a later video with his green hood up, he's just trying to hide from the crazy lady. Could be. Or maybe he's a lizard dude who winked vertically. And everyone, she's like all freaking out over it. And some other dude who was sitting three rows back, I don't know how he would have seen, but maybe he saw. I don't know. And she's like, she sees it. Because maybe it's like I said, they at least don't want to reveal themselves to us. Or maybe it's neither of those things. Maybe it's a Rorschach test, a snapshot of where we are mentally as a society. We so badly want to be distracted that we are willing to entertain the idea that there's a lizard sitting on that plane. And that it's not because she had too many gummies. It's because he's a lizard. And there's a cover-up. Someone's hiding something. Now, it's easy to think that there might be because we have been duped. I mean, there was the thing. There's a story that I have here later on that I was going to discuss. How, like, for instance, you know, there's this list of side effects that now has been made public through FOIA requests and all that stuff. And oh my gosh, look at all this stuff that's related to the coronavirus vaccine. And death was apparently always known to be a potential side effect and all this other stuff. And everybody hid it. Just like everybody was hiding that natural immunity or trying to deny natural immunity existed, or how the press now with this case that we're going to be talking about here shortly, which is an injunction in Missouri v. Biden, how you have a judge that has put a stop to the government reaching out to social media technological companies so that they are not conspiring or colluding to suppress speech from ordinary, average, everyday Americans. And you have the press saying, well, that's, you know, this is just a bunch of paranoid righties that want to rewrite the First Amendment because they're paranoid. That's how it's being presented in the press. So I get it. We have been lied to and we haven't believed it, but we've watched them really, really earnestly try to get us to believe it. We have been lied to six ways to Sunday over and over and over again. I get it. So when something like this comes out, you're kind of primed to more easily entertain the idea that maybe it was Mark Zuckerberg in that green hoodie sitting on the plane. It could be. Speaking of which, he's launched Threads. Have you seen this? It's, you basically, if you're on Instagram, you just sign up through Instagram. It does it for you in a couple clicks. And it's, they're calling it a Twitter killer. Is it though? You know how many times they've said this? I'm so tired of having different social media things open. Because I don't want to have to see the same damn annoying operatives on another platform. Golly, why? Why would we do that? No. I mean, I looked at it to see. I'm not going to use it. I'm not posting on it. As much as I hate the new TweetDeck preview, but I'm not going to post on it. No. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We also have the two stories that I was talking to you about, the side effects, that whole thing that came out, and also the latest with the tech case, because you have the media that is lamenting free speech. Wait until you hear how they've covered some of this. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, but I got more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, I really wish we could sit here and go over what we were discussing on break, but we can't. All right, so we have, of course I have this. Of course. What is up with me in these headlines lately? So it started off with UFO hunting Harvard scientists seeing debris from an unidentified object that crashed in the Pacific in 2014, where it could be artificial in origin. But wait, there's more. So apparently they say this one House investigator warns that UFOs are beyond control in our military airspace. Are they? I've got some questions. Very interesting. Just saying. And you remember that Las Vegas family that called 911? Do you remember this whole story? They said that there were 10-foot tall aliens in the backyard. Yeah. Well, now they're threatening trespassers because people are trespassing on their property and they're overrun with UFO sleuths. I mean, they are absolutely overrun. they said that they had to, the police had to actually install cameras on the roof of their home because so many people are descending on their house. Is that not crazy? Wow. But also, why haven't we heard more about that? Just wondering. That lizard guy on the plane. Just saying. Let's see. The anti-child trafficking film from Jim Caviezel, Sound of Freedom, $10 million in pre-sales before July 4th. That's a pretty impressive opening. That's according to some of the latest box office numbers. This for the most part, faith-based, based on a true story title. It's about a former Homeland Security agent, Tim Ballard. He took rescuing abducted children around the globe into his own hands. And so that's, it looks like a $20 million six-day start. And that's pretty impressive for an independent project like that. So it's doing quite well. Also, states are suing the EPA over the damaging environmental impact of residential wood-burning stoves. Attorneys general from 10 states are accusing the EPA of failing to review and ensure emission standards. All this 60-day notice of intent. They're fighting with it's Alaska, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota. All the, you know, the usual suspects that are filing suit over this. Also, from the BBC Threads, the Instagram, it's all by Facebook now because Facebook owns Instagram. So Threads launched to rival Twitter this morning. And all you have to do is just like sign in if you feel like it. Do you really want something, another thing that you have to update? I wouldn't. I'm just saying. Texas's Heartbeat Act, according to new numbers, has saved 10,000 babies. Texas Scorecard has a study that was done by researchers at Johns Hopkins, and they found that it was about actually over 9,799 more births. Stick with us. More in store.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Just to clarify for us, where exactly inside the West Wing the substance was discovered?
I'm not going to get into specifics. All I can say is when people visit the West Wing, there is the area of the West Wing where it is highly traveled, and that is what happens. People come through this particular area, it's highly traveled. I'm just not going to get into specifics. I'm not going to get into, not going to get ahead of the Secret Service, and so I'll let them speak to that.
There are a couple of primary entrances into the West Wing. There's the one with which we're all familiar, right outside the driveway where the Marine stands when the President's in the West Wing, and there's another entrance off West Executive Avenue. Can you explain which entrance we're talking about?
I'm going to let the Secret Service speak to that.
Can you explain why you can't explain it? I mean, you described it as a heavily traveled area.
That's what I'm just saying what the Secret Service said. We got this from the Secret Service, so I'm sharing a little bit more with you from here. But again, it's under their purview. It's under investigation. They will have more specifics down the road.
They're going to have more specifics. That's, you know.
Will they
though? Well, yeah, exactly. Like, will you though? Are you going to have more Because it doesn't, I don't think that they ever really do. Welcome back to the program. It was KJP just a little bit ago discussing the cocaine culprit. Bum, bum, bum. You know what? It's covered in, the place is covered in cameras. They have cameras everywhere. And the place where they were talking about the Secret Service taking people's phones and putting them up, I mean, you can't just like walk in. You also can't carry items with you. And they have drug sniffing dogs and all kinds of stuff there. And what cocaine addict is like, I'm just going to take my stuff into the case. I got to do a quick sniff here. Like what? Oh my gosh. She can't answer any questions. She also can't answer any questions about the unacknowledged little granddaughter, 4-year-old Navy Jones. This was yesterday. Almost towards the end of our radio program, Audio Sunbite 1. Listen to this.
There was a story in the New York Times over the weekend about Hunter Biden's daughter in Arkansas. Does the president acknowledge this little girl as his granddaughter?
I don't have anything to share from here.
That's really...
Wow.
What is the... I mean, this is just pointless for them to do this.
Wow.
It is absolutely pointless at this time to do this. To ignore... You're creating more waves for yourself by refusing to acknowledge this kid than not. And this is a problem of their own creation, this whole storm and the interest around it. And the refusal, even of Biden and Jill, you know how quickly that would have gone away if they would have just done something like, I don't know, last Christmas, they had her stocking up, or if they would stop, they would actually say, include her in the count of grandkids. Do you realize that they, it's like a petty point at the at this juncture in this whole story to be fixated on refusing to acknowledge her? It's just pure pettiness at this point. Why? What is the whole point of it? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, he had to settle with her because they were rolling into discovery, and her child support case was going to be the thing that dragged all of his stuff out there. You know, I made this point yesterday. I said on Twitter, and pull this up because I was thinking about all of this. I'm like, you know, if a lot of these operatives in the Republican Party out there, if these operatives were actually more interested in winning elections than preserving their own pitiful personal power adjacency, they would focus on getting London Roberts and Navy Joan to cut a 2024 ad for the Republican Party. Or they would have been encouraging her to drag this out into discovery. Let's see who's funding Hunter, because that's where it was going. That's why he ended up settling. And part of the settlement was what? The paintings, the spit take paintings, right? Oh my gosh. So ridiculous. So ridiculous. So I don't know. It's at least they're not, I guess, censoring questions about it anymore. Now that Twitter's been, now that the jig is up, everybody knows. I will say though, so apparently on Threads, they're already hardcore. Lorraine notes this, and I've seen this pop up from a couple of people, but I'm starting to see this more and more. Everyone sharing their own like screenshots of the stuff that they have being censored. So apparently, Threads is already really, really censoring people hardcore. Shocker, right? Are you guys surprised by this? I'm not. Anybody surprised? Surprised that Threads would be censoring people? I don't even know what was reportedly censored, but apparently they're already censoring people. Shocker. So I'm not going to be active over there. And I think at this point, really, ultimately, the White House needs to be careful how far they want to go in pushing tech companies to do their partisan bidding. This is one of the things that I wanted to touch on, this war on speech and this tech case. There were a couple of things that I saw, particularly the way that the New York Times has written about this. And I tweeted about this also. I'm actually trying to pull this. I had it pulled up. I thought I did. And I ended up entirely losing it. But the New York Times had this piece. It's the Missouri v. Biden. And the New York Times says, quote, the case involving the Biden administration's interactions with social media platforms is a flashpoint in conservatives' effort to show what they say is a liberal conspiracy to silence their views. The White House previously, through their previous spokespeople, literally got up at the podium and explained how the administration was working with social media companies to suppress what they called disinformation. Although it wasn't disinformation, it was just things that challenged their narrative or opinions that they just didn't like. They held press briefings, numerous press briefings, where they explained this. Some instances, we carried the briefings live. In other instances, we played audio from it. It was Jen Psaki, Karine Jean-Pierre, and even other officials in the Biden administration who have explained and discussed this before. That doesn't even get into all of the thousands of accounts, mine included, that had been previously suspended on social media because we shared accurate reporting about Joe Biden's 50-something-year-old crackhead nepo baby. Whether it had to do with the laptop or a number of other things. And the legacy press, the American Pravda, they should be writing stories about this. They should be writing stories about how the federal government conspired with tech companies to suppress free speech. But instead, they're framing this whole thing, they're framing this issue as righties who are trying to rewrite the First Amendment over paranoia. But it's not paranoia. It's not a conspiracy. Views were legitimately silenced on the directive at the order of the White House. The DOJ, the FBI. There are emails that explain this. I don't know why we're pretending that this evidence that has already been made publicly available that we've all seen doesn't exist, because we've seen it. It exists. They've had, hell, they literally talked about it at press conferences. This isn't a conspiracy. It happened. And in fact, the judge in this case, he hasn't made his final decision. There's just the injunction, but I would imagine, I mean, this is not something I don't think that they want to play around with, because when the judge in the case was like, there is enough evidence here to absolutely make the argument that the government colluded with all of these entities to silence people. I mean, the New York Times is desperately, and it's not just the New York Times, it's other entities too. They're trying so hard to make conservatives look like these nut job conspiracy theorists because of this. And it's just not the case. And of course, July 4th, of all the days for this case to come out, it is a huge free speech issue. It really is. I mean, my gosh, they are claiming, I mean, it's a court injunction against censorship. And the New York Times is acting like it's going to, remember, they also came out, they had, they said that it's a ruling that could curtail efforts to fight disinformation. That was another tweet that they had. They're acting like the inability or the prohibition of the government to conspire with these private companies, that this is somehow going to fight disinformation. Have they read any of their own reporting? I mean, what, it's going to impede their work? How? I mean, one of the things that was noted, they quoted all these experts, and apparently one of the experts was one of the authors of a report that accused Asian Americans of conspiracies for saying that affirmative action was that affirmative action penalized them disproportionately. They called that disinformation. The New York Times. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many stories with the New York Times have they come out? Have they come out with? You know, they called when you had the IRS that was penalizing under Lois Lerner conservative groups back in 2008, 2009. That was called a conspiracy theory until the evidence came out and they were found guilty of abusing their authority and they had to settle with all these groups. I mean, you had Jen Psaki say that the White House, I'm reading the direct quote, was in regular touch with social media platforms. We are regularly making sure social media platforms are aware of the latest narrative dangerous to public health, quote. That's her actual direct quote. Now, one of the other things, pull this up, that came out, I mean, talking about the New York Times, David Zweig had stated that this passage in the New York Times, and I saw this too, they had, they talked about the judge in the case, Terry Doughty, who had been appointed by Trump, right? And they said that, quote, he's previously expressed little skepticism about debunked claims from vaccine skeptics. In one previous case, Judge Doughty accepted as fact the claim that COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent transmission of the disease. Quote, by the way, that's really legitimately what, what's her name? Rochelle Walensky said, the head of the CDC, that was her direct quote. And she told that to Anderson Cooper on CNN. What? I mean, this is about the court ruling against the government's actions in suppressing speech. And they literally cite a correct statement as evidence of a judge referring to a debunked claim. They literally cite the direct quote from the CDC director as being debunked. They're so wrapped up in this BS, they can't even keep it straight anymore. Now, do you remember the whole Provincetown outbreak? There was all kinds of stuff. There was, a number of different stories that they would run with propaganda as truth and then call things like this, like an actual quote from the CDC director, disinformation. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Walensky told CNN multiple times, in August of 2021, in December of 2021, in October of 2021, that vaccines do not prevent transmission of the virus. Over and over again. That's what was cited. That's what the judge cited. And the New York Times was like, that's disinformation. He cites a debunked claim. This is the paper of record? Really? You know why they call it the gray lady? Gray's the color of dead.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So an inebriated Florida man was arrested, and he was drinking a can of Florida Man beer. There he was, a drunk 39-year-old Largo man. Seth Thomas was arrested after enjoying a nice cold beverage, literally named Florida Man. It was a police report obtained by the Smoking Gun. He was arrested in Pinellas County. He was drinking in a public place while causing a public disturbance. So it's not just because he was drinking a Florida Man beer. But he was apparently yelling at traffic with the Florida Man in his hand, the can of beer, and walking in the roadway and refusing requests to stop screaming at people and walking in front of cars. So that's why police showed up. He posted a $100 bond. He had a misdemeanor charge. Apparently, he's got a rap sheet that includes obstruction, trespassing, possession of open alcohol, disorderly intoxication. He seems a wee bit rowdy, one might say. Little rowdy, just a little bit. I don't know. This CBS 12 Florida pizza restaurant. Apparently, a teenager ordered a pizza at a Florida restaurant and then robbed the store at gunpoint in Bonita Springs. A 19-year-old, he was caught on video surveillance. It was a revolver. Like, of all the places to rob, for real? Like, the pizza joint? Right. You're going to rob the pizza joint? You absolute moron. He's got a chin strap of a beard. It literally just, like, runs the... He looks like Wooly Willy if you only just did the bottom of his head. You know those things? Remember those things? Kids today don't. Shush up. But, yeah, he ended up getting in trouble. He only got $500, apparently, according to records. Like, you really thought you were going to really win big with that? So he's in jail now. He's got a $30,000 bond amount. His hearing scheduled for July 31st. He could face a minimum sentence of 34 months. He could serve a max of 30 years, depending on what they decide to go for. But dang, that's one way to totally screw the pooch. I was laughing at this story that I saw at Tampa Bay Times. Florida is America's flattest state, apparently, and a man says that he's going to the highest points of all the parts of Florida. He grew up in Boston. I don't know. So that's what he's doing. He wants to go. He says the high points are in the orange groves and then the parking lot of a mall with the Cheesecake Factory and random roads. And so that's what he's doing. He's, you know, everybody's got their goals. I'm just saying, everybody's got goals. Those are his. Don't you judge. Or maybe judge. Florida men stole hundreds of gallons of used cooking oil. This is so gross. Like, of all the stuff, like, why? Why do this? Marathon, Florida. Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Two men from Miami-Dade stole some used cooking oil from Herbie's Bar and Chowder House. That sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. So it's like $1,300 is the value. They're apparently still on the run. Stick with us. Last hour on the way.
What was worse... The social media companies didn't just play along, they colluded and tried to stop some of the flow of information. So I think this is a little bit of a corrective, but I clearly feel that in the end, the decision will be refined somewhat because government has to have the right to have its own free speech to push back when they see things on social media they think are dangerous.
Okay, what is he talking about? Who is this guy? Who's this old fart who's up there? Well, you know, I think that the government's got to have its own right when it comes to free speech. Who is this guy who is saying, this is MSNBC. This is their Morning Joe. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. Watch the simulcast. Channel 347 DirecTV. Also YouTube and Facebook. The government doesn't have rights. The government is an entity that is powered by the people. And there are individuals through whom the power of consent is given by way of a vote where they can participate in government and represent the people's will in government. The government is not some individual sentient being that has its own set of rights. And furthermore, there's a difference between pushing back and disagreeing and engaging in debate and open discussion and then preventing disagreement and preventing engagement and open discussion. And that's what we're talking about, is the latter, because that's exactly what the government did. They didn't push back and disagree. No one from the government simply merely pushed back and disagreed. They literally instructed social media companies to suppress people, limiting or outright stopping altogether their ability to engage in free and open discussion. So that is an incredible lie and a ridiculous framing of this real issue. But the media is apoplectic over the fact that someone would stick up, someone, that you wouldn't be able to have the government go and do their bidding. The media was happy with it because the government, it's weird because the government used to have more power, or the media was supposed to account, you know, be the fact checker and hold accountable the government. And now it's like they want to be the government. In certain respects, they're very, very happy about all of this. They definitely wanted the suppression. They wanted the suppression because the suppression hurts their competition. And I, out of when discussing the correcting of disinformation, I would think that sending out official government representatives to argue against how many decades of science that we have established scientific fact on natural immunity and address any questions that people may have. I would think that some of the disinformation, I guess, that they put out about that, that's, I mean, if you were, they're the biggest purveyors of the falsehoods about all of this. And yet they haven't had any accountability because they want to make the rules for it. Now, speaking some of the disinformation, too, so much of this, there was this list that came out of the side effects from 2020. The FDA's Product Advisory Committee, they were reviewing the safety and efficacy of coronavirus 19 vaccines. And they had this out as October 22nd, 2020. But it was like deep within this presentation that they had. It was this slideshow. And it first, some of this came up on Twitter. So there was this slideshow that came out and had this long list of known possible side effects, and or the way that they titled it was possible adverse event outcomes. And there was a slide that showed this FDA draft list. Apparently it wasn't ever supposed to see the light of day. And it appeared on the screen by accident very briefly. And even though this was a legitimate long list that they had inadvertently included in this presentation, it was when 2 months after this that Pfizer was granted emergency use authorization. And it was just like 2 months after that meeting where they had this slide. And you can, when you, there's a video of it, and they knew immediately what would what it was happening when they saw it. Like it had a brief slide and it talked about like death was the top one, stroke, anaphylactic shock, like anaphylaxis, convulsions, seizures, acute myocardial infarction, myocarditis, pericarditis, autoimmune disease, encephalitis, transverse myelitis, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of syndromes, narcolepsy. I mean, there's like three columns of it, and you can see the first column and then part of the second column. And so they, all of these emergency authorizations were granted, even though they had this huge list that came, that, I mean, that was the known side effects at the time. I mean, they had, a massive list, all of this stuff that people have been asking questions on, you know, since we're talking about the government and misinformation that they never actually were forthright about. They kept saying, no, it was all safe. None of the risks were ever discussed with the public. I mean, they weren't discussed with the public because none of the risks were revealed. The public was never made aware of everything that these, that our government, that the FDA, and that these other companies knew, ever. The messaging from the government was that they are safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. It's all you heard. And if you question, even a question, you questioned it and you were called a conspiracy theorist, or you were suppressed or banned on social media altogether. We had warning labels put on our videos on YouTube. I can't tell you how many times we were demonetized because we, on the simulcast for the radio program, all we were doing was asking questions. We were saying, well, wait a minute, people are reporting these side effects. Don't you think it's fair to ask questions about some of this stuff? Shouldn't it be, I mean, shouldn't we be able to ask whether or not these side effects exist? Kane notes too in a separate piece coming from the Denver Gazette that they had wanted, the FDA wanted a period of 75 years before releasing this data on the lists of all the side effects that we're talking about from this draft list that was in this slideshow. They wanted a 75-year hold on all of this information, and the judge rejected it, and instead they were given 8 months to produce the information that they had related to these adverse side effects. None of this was ever discussed with the public. The public was penalized. The public was impugned. The public was ostracized. If you even questioned it. I remember filling out a form with all of this stuff because I had to go, I had to undergo surgery like in the middle of, like as we were, things were starting to open up, but you were still had to wear your masks and do the distancing and all this stuff. And it was a medically, it was a very medically necessary kind of an urgent surgery. Thankfully everything was okay, but it was a pretty serious surgery. And I remember one of the forms, they were asking all these questions. They asked like a million different times if you had the vaccine. And then they were asking about mammograms. And there was one, because I had asked a question because it said on these forms, if you have the vaccine, then you have to delay going in to get your mammogram. And I was like, that's kind of weird. And I remember asking one of the nurses and she was like, well, and I got the sense that she knew and really wanted to share this information, but couldn't, or maybe they were told you can't really. I guess what, they didn't want to be liable for something. I don't know. But she was saying, well, we're instructed to tell people to wait. And I'm like, is there a reason for waiting? Well, as it turns out, because people's lymph nodes were swelling. There were certain other apparently side effects that women were having. And it was giving apparently like a false, it was making people suspicious as to whether or not something was developing in their breast tissue. That was apparently ultimately what it was. You couldn't even ask these questions. You were expected to operate in an area of complete ignorance and stay completely in the dark, like the medieval periods. It was insane that you could not even ask about basic risks or, you know, outcomes with any of these, you know, with injections. And I remember when I was getting prepped for surgery, when I was going in, I had to go into the hospital and we had to go over all of this stuff. And then they asked me a couple of different times, have you had the vaccine? Have you had the vaccine? And I said, I've had nature's vaccine. Yes, I've had it naturally. I have immunity. I have natural immunity. I've already had the virus. I caught it naturally. And some of the nurses were like, they totally understood. But there was one who was like really pushing it. And I just went into bitch mode. I'm like, I've already had the blanking virus. I'm like, do you have any other blanking questions you want to ask me? And I mean, I was about ready to throw down right in the damn hospital. I'm like, you play stupid games, you're going to win a stupid prize. You want to ask me something else stupid? I'm so done with it. I'm like, I'm sitting here going in for a serious surgery and you're going to try to gaslight me with this political BS? Are you kidding me right now? Like, I'm not A, not there emotionally to do it. And B, I do not have time for this stuff. Oh my gosh, I was so mad. I went home pissed. Shouldn't have to do that. I was going in for a very serious surgery. Thankfully, I had, not to be like, you know, TMI, but it was a cancer scare and I had to have surgery to do biopsies and all this stuff. And it was totally benign, thankfully. But because everything had happened so quickly, they were very nervous about it and they wanted immediately surgery done. So, you know, you're fit, and you have no idea until you have it done and you're sitting there, and I was getting this political BS from this nurse. Can you imagine? Like, what would your, and you couldn't ask anything. You couldn't talk about natural immunity. You couldn't bring any of this up. The press would call you conspiracy theorist. I mean, you had these trolls online that were, they were doxing average everyday Americans if they just simply brought up a concern on social media. I mean, golly, it's infuriating. This is one of the biggest gaslighting jobs on the American public in the history of humanity. I mean, they know everything is safe. Doesn't sound like everything's safe. Our cardiologist, because we have a family member that deals with a certain inflammation of organ tissue, was saying, yeah, that person should not get this vaccine. My cardiologist, at least, was saying, was, you know, thankfully was very honest about it. You couldn't ask about blood clots. You couldn't ask about reproductive issues. Do you remember how much of a big deal it was for women when women were saying, wait a minute, why is our menstrual cycle, why are our menstrual cycles changing after this? Do you remember that? And how they were basically attacked into silence on social media? You know, the place where women should be able to go and talk about fears related to like lady issues with this stuff. There were people who were going through fertility treatments. They wanted to conceive and they were worried about how this was going to affect that process. They couldn't even ask those questions. I had a family member that was going through it at the exact same time that this was happening. She could not even ask these questions. She couldn't talk about it on Facebook without some nut job going off on her. And then you have the people out there. We literally had people who stopped being our friends because of this stuff. And they don't have the soul to rectify it. Yeah, people have every right to be mad. And honestly, I know this probably isn't the nicest thing to say, but man, karma's going to suck for all the rat bastards that push this stuff. And all the people who went along with it like sheep just to be accepted. All the people who went along and dutifully did their bit. Didn't speak up when they saw other people getting attacked for it. Man. I don't have anything FCC worthy left to say.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Believe it or not, there is actually an update to the Hunter cocaine story that we're going to talk about. I'm just putting it on the table right now. There's a new location. I'm not even making this up. Hands to sky. So we're going to hit that here in a minute. From ARS, Ars Technica, lonely people see the world differently according to their brains. Brain activity differs amongst people who feel out of touch with their peers. Human beings are social creatures. Some of us are. Some of us aren't. And they said that they were looking at the brains of lonely people. So a team of researchers at UCLA, they did these brain scans and they said basically that it's a bunch of stuff I don't care about. Duh. Do you really want to know? Like something negative emotion, the dysmoremedial prefrontal cortex. I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care. Duh, that seems obvious. Can you imagine riding a roller coaster in Wisconsin and be stuck upside down for hours? How long can a human being stay upside down without like croaking? Because I mean, I'm wondering, New York Post says it was the Fireball roller coaster, Forest County Festival in Crandon, 230 miles north of Milwaukee. Whereas they would say it in, Wayne's World, Milwaukee with Alice Cooper. It was a mechanical failure and they were hung upside down for an inordinate period of time, for like hours. So where's the cocaine now? We'll talk about it.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let me bring you up to date with the reporting that I have. What we have learned is that there are, in fact, two West Wing entrances. You know that, I know that, but for the benefit of our audience. And now the investigation has progressed, and so they're saying the West Executive entrance, which, as you noted, is closer to the Situation Room and closer to the Navy mess, where there's the facilities for food and so forth. It is also next to West Executive Drive. That's where, for example, the Vice President's vehicle is parked.
So, as we were telling you, there's a new location for the cocaine. I was talking about this. First of all, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. So, you know, like we were taking care of some business here, you know, going through all our music. We're like, golly, at this rate, we're going to exhaust our songs, our bumper tracks about cocaine. You know, because we had the only time I will ever play a Grateful Dead song on this show. I literally almost sprouted Birkenstocks on my feet, and like one of those, the woven hoodie, the woven ponchos almost developed on me. But Casey Jones. Obviously got to play Eric Clapton. I had some Buck Cherry, and then we got into this whole discussion about how Buck Cherry was so great, and wasn't he kind of like a, you know, Scott Weiland, you know, 2.0 in a way. It was a great group. Can You Hear Me Knocking by the Stones? Because I think there's like I can't believe we're talking about this.
It's news.
But they had, it was like something like Cocaine Eyes or something like that. I know that there are some. There's the Coca-Cola by the Clash. We'll play that one. Elton John had one, something like Lady Powder or something like that. I can't remember. Don't suggest Neil Young to me. It's not going to happen. I had a cousin who was like, hey, he was listening. He was like, what about Neil Young? I hate Neil Young. There's several, but I mean, good songs, not just, I don't want to play just some song. They have to be good songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't, it's gotta be, you know, there has to be some good ones. So anyway, new loque for the cocaine. So, now they're saying it's near the Situation Room, right? That's where they're saying it's, oh my gosh. You know, we're bringing dignity back to the White House. Who knew what the dignity looked like? Strippers and coke. Who knew? Like, literally, who knew? Yeah. So this is this was MSNBC that had reported this. It was like almost a half hour ago. So now it's in a much more secure place near the Situation Room, next to where, for example, the vice president's vehicle is parked. Can we just stop there for a second? Seems a real laser focused example, right? You know, it's by the Situation Room, for example, right where the vice president's car is parked. Right there, for example. Are they going to plant? Are they going to plant this dime bag on Kamala?
Sounds like it.
The drug czar?
Sounds like it.
Wait, is the Biden administration going to plant Hunter's Coke on the drug czar? What drug did Marion Barry do?
Oh, gosh.
You know?
I think that was crack.
Was it crack?
I think it was.
I just was curious as to whether or not we're coming full circle with us. I'm just wondering. I thought that was a very interesting, you know, very specific, laser-focused example there. You know, it's right by where the vice president parks her vehicle, Andrea, and with it's covered in white fingerprints. I don't know if you saw. It's a little powder, some residue there on the door handle. Yeah, and there's some plastic baggies in the back. But we're not making the assertion or the accusation that it is the vice president's cocaine, Andrea, even though her car's right there. It's not. She's got white powder on her face. We're not at all. Just wondering. So that's MSNBC that's reporting this. I am literally full of jokes right now. So I don't know. I mean, so it's by the Situation Room also?
Yeah.
Isn't the Situation Room where situations go down?
Yeah, you know, military situations.
I mean, it's just, you know, the Situation Room is where stuff happens. It's also known as the John F. Kennedy conference room.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the conference room. And they have done the Situation Room. You might remember the photo of then President Barack Obama sitting with then Vice President Joe Biden, along with members of the national security team. They were looking at the mission Operation Neptune Spear, which was basically go to Afghanistan and punch a terrorist out. It was the bin Laden op. They were in the Situation Room. Cocaine. So that's where the situations happen. There's some cocaine by it now.
Just can we just, okay, real quick, just like a 10,000.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a 10,000.
This is our job. We're talking about this.
No, we're talking about coke all day. 10,000 foot view. Hazmat Fire Department said they found it in the library. We have the recorded conversations claiming that the cocaine was found in the library. Then the White House puts out that it was found in the West Wing. Highly trafficked in a cubby. is what we found out later. And now it's near the Situation Room. This is not their. What are they doing? What are we doing?
It's a very sophisticated game of hot potato. Actually, it's like Clue. It is like the game of Clue. It is the hunter with the dime bag in the Situation Room.
Wrong. It was the West Wing. Wait, was it?
It's the library, the working library. It was the cubby.
Oh, my, God.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to start calling him cubby. That's, so we're, okay. So we also were having this conversation on break. Here's why we don't think it was, because you know how they were suggesting and the way that they were trying to structure the reporting of where it was located was almost like they were intimating that it was a staffer, a younger staffer's cocaine. Yeah. Okay, we are all here at the show in agreement that younger people are too damn scared to bring their dime bags to the White House. Yeah. But you know who would? A 50-something-year-old cokehead who is the nepo baby of the president of the United States and has no fear. He totally would. But a younger person is not going to, a younger, like a an old millennial or even a Gen Xer, not going to, well, he's kind of an old Gen Xer, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
But a millennial's not going to do it.
No.
And Gen Z, they're petrified. Hell, they don't even like leaving their houses. And when they do, they hiss. I don't know. They it's not going to be, they're going to be too terrified. To do anything like
see,
that.
The way I see it is, so they knew the library, like people, you know, people can see the cameras are there. They knew that the West Wing area, they knew that cameras were there, highly trafficked. And now when the narrative became, well, if you have cameras, why can't you just go ahead and do it? Now they changed it as far as the location to where there's fewer cameras. So now it's believable that they wouldn't have anything on camera in order to catch this guy.
That's
this,
a good point.
This is unbelievable to me.
That is a very good point. So there's no cameras here, so we can't, we're not going to be able to find out whose it is. We all know that that's a lie. You know that it's a lie. Because they would, they whoever was going there, they would at least have a pool of candidates, and there's only so many people allowed there, and you could pinpoint the time, et cetera, et cetera. It's Hunter's crack. Come on. It's Hunter's cocaine. It's Hunter's powder. Come on. It's his snuff. It's his booger sugar, okay? I mean, we all know that's what it is. I mean, that's, I don't know. I just can't believe that they're acting like we're all this dumb.
They're creating a big situation around the Situation Room.
Yeah, it's a big situation. I mean, we know that it's you know, it's his white rock. It's his toot. We know it, right? Those are, that's Hunter's stuff. It's Hunter's blow. It's Hunter's nose candy. We all know that, boys. It's Hunter's snow. Informer. We could do this all day. Let's just turn this into an episode of Shoresy and riff it.
What did you say in that one part of the song? You know, seen a Minnesota. Remember that part of the song on Snow Informer?
Oh my gosh, yes. I don't know what he said.
No, I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah, nobody knows what he said. He doesn't even know what he said. Yeah, I don't. He doesn't even know it. Just
sounds
saying.
Like he was on coke.
It's Hunter Schneef. It's his. See? It's Hunter.
Yeah.
We have no idea what he's. Yeah, we have no idea what he says here.
Nobody.
It's the schneef is what it is. It's the powdered caffeine, right?
And what was the boom boom?
Yeah. The crystal candy. I don't know. Maybe that's the hooker part. I actually don't know, man. Just saying.
He used to jam to that song, though.
Yeah, I was in like junior high when that track came out.
Yeah,
it was like real pop. It was like number one for a while. They don't know where it is. Why? Can we just stop pretending? We're wasting all... This is Hunter's blow. It's his crystal candy. It's all his stuff. We know it. Come on now. He's been schnoozing the schneef. We know it. That's his. Just own it and go. Like, let's move on. We got other stuff that we got to hit, right? We got a big... We got the free speech case that we all need to be talking about. We got... And then they run out there on Twitter. Did you see the vice president had... Oh, we need to ban assault weapons. Let's just throw a tweet out. Oh my gosh, they're trying to pin cocaine on me. Throw a tweet out about guns. That literally, she did that. That actually happened. We got to get this solved because I only got like five more good tracks about cocaine that I can play for bumper. And then we're going to start getting into like the B-list territory. And I don't like to be bringing you guys no bad music with my bumper tracks. I mean, that's one of the things that we are known for on this program. Come on. Just own up to it, Hunt.
Cubby.
Yeah, Cubby. Come on, Cubby. Gosh, So if this is not, this will never be an SNL skit. They're too afraid. They're too afraid. They're afraid of, it's a Frankenstein's monster. Everyone is bringing me tracks now. So I may not run out because I'm getting some obscure stuff that some folks are suggesting to me now. I'm getting, and I don't even want to look and see what the chat's done. I don't even want to look because I can only imagine. They probably went for the rare sides and the B-side rarities. That's where they went. So they said one of the other reports, and this is another MSNBC thing, cocaine in the White House was found in an area that wasn't covered by cameras.
See what I tell you.
Here, let check. Yeah. It is MSNBC. They're saying that, yep. Oh, it looks like, there are no cameras in this part of the White House cane. This is Mr. Schneef reporter. Listen.
Yeah, Aaron Kelly O'Donnell reports that it's possible that we might not even get to learn who actually brought this small bag he is. So I'm sure that's a sigh of relief to whoever sort of made the boneheaded move of bringing a bag of cocaine to the White House. But because this is in a, not an area that, is highly trafficked, but wasn't necessarily covered by cameras all that well. You know, it's an area that a decent amount of people had access to. It just makes that investigation a little bit difficult.
It's not difficult, boys.
It's not difficult, boys. I mean, I think we're going to find out who is bringing in the love affair to the White House, right? We're going to find out who has got the nose candy. Come on.
Hunter.
It's Hunter. It's his stuff.
I feel
it's
like
his stuff.
Name that tune, and we've played 45 notes, and no one's naming the freaking tune.
Brings a whole new meaning to Snowflake.
It's Hunter.
It's Hunter's. It's Hunter's Snowflakes. Gosh, that's a breakfast cereal parody right there. Jeez.
How many bowls
of snowflakes does it take for Hunter to leave a dime back near the Situation Room? We could do this all day.
Stop.
Did you get that Inca message, Hunt? Come on.
I could not do this all day.
I totally could. Oh my gosh. Do we need to move? Can we make fun of this some more? I mean, I got some more bumper tracks. This is so ridiculous. I mean, it's like an episode of Benny Hill mixed in with some Monty Python and Mr. Bean all together. That's our White House. And you got first son, Nepo baby first son up there. He's not even actually first son, just by default. Does that mean? I don't care. I mean, come on.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
That's a possibility because people who come through the tours go through there. But that area is, there's a, you've been through that entrance. I've been through that entrance.
Oh, shut
it's,
up.
Bring your there's a canopy there. Right there. It comes in off the street. And then you go in there. There's a bunch of cubbies where you put your phones if you're going to one of those restricted areas
so
where you can't
how,
carry a
now
phone.
Now they're saying, as you
like
heard,
the situation
that
room
it's
or somewhere
by
else.
The Situation Room is where it was found.
They've been changing the story.
They keep changing the story. They're running defense for Hunt. We had a little Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five with white lines there.
Yeah.
If you were listening terrestrially, maybe streaming the program. But I had said earlier, we were like, okay, well, what do we got? We got Lit Up by Buck Cherry. We had, Can You Hear Me Knocking by Rolling Stones. They said, it's like, I know they talk about cocaine in that. Literally, the song Cocaine by Eric Clapton. Coca-Cola by The Clash. And then you start getting into some, like, not as good. So I don't know. I'm like, they got to wrap this up. They got to wrap this story up.
Because,
I'm running out of cocaine songs, and you're going to make me play something bad, and I can't be doing that to people. I mean, it's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday. I mean, if there's ever a time to drop it, and be like, oh, hey, y'all, it was Hunter's. Anyway, bye. He was schneefing, snuffing the schneef over there by the Situation Room. It's where he was. Friday's the day. Kane, isn't that the mutually agreed upon time to
exactly
drop
right.
big stuff you want buried?
Need that weekend news cycle help.
Exactly, right? And then, like, have Biden fall down some stairs or something. All gone. All gone. Tell you what. I just don't think suggesting that it's Kamala's, and I kid you not, that's what MSNBC did. It's right by where the vice president parks her car. Not saying it's her, but maybe we are. Today in stupidity, Kane, what do we got?
Oh, my Lord. That's so much stupidity today. All right, so just so you know, Moody's Analytics has said that the actions of the Biden administration and Congress have undoubtedly resulted in higher deficits. Not smaller ones.
Bogotas.
Yeah, thank you. Here's Biden saying this again with a creepy whisper.
By the way, parenthetically, I want you to, you're going to hear about the deficit. I cut the deficit $1.7 trillion in 2 years.
You did nothing.
Nobody's ever done that. Cut the debt 1.7.
You did absolutely no such thing. By the way, that's a complete lie. So.
Oh. You know, yeah, maybe, he didn't.
Who knows? He was on stage. It was a crazy day for Joe Biden on
stage.
Does he
think that doing this drives the point home? Because if he does believe that, it's Hunter's cocaine. Yeah,
that's creepy.
Just saying. Sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse, over at Substack. And I will be back behind the mic with you to finish out the week tomorrow.